minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. What time am I on again? Is it noon? Noon to 2? Wow, I'm off for a week and everything's changed. We got like a new computer in here. What else? What else has happened? There's like four other things that have happened that I'm... Oh, somebody moved the chair. Different chair I'm sitting in today. What's that about? That one had armrests. I don't need to rest my arms. I sit down for 2 hours. My arms don't need to rest. They need to move around. We had like every business in downtown Greeley. You know, we broadcast throughout Northern Colorado, but we are located in downtown Greeley. How many businesses flooded last week, Colfax, while I was out?
Almost all of them.
Yeah, I'm seeing pictures all over social media, and I'm like, thank God I'm here where it's dry. I almost offered to come help you guys, but it seemed like everybody had it figured out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, best you could.
We put KFK's dream team on it. I saw it, man. We had Michael Kirkpatrick running around. It looked like a cartoon character scooping up water, dumping it out. But unfortunately, that was every business because it was coming from up. It was coming from down. Water was everywhere.
It's crazy.
That was nuts. What else? The Rockies are apparent. Like, are they the hottest team currently playing in professional sports in the state of Colorado?
100%.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. They might be the only team.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're that's our Power to Play sports poll question, by the way. How many games under 500 will the Rockies finish the season?
It's a loaded question.
How many games under 500 will the Rockies finish the season? 5 to 10, which they're 11 right now. Above 500, or they'll finish right around 500 or 10-plus. Like, you think that's going to be a disaster. I tweeted, they're like one of the best teams at home. They're like the worst team on the road. They should win a road game, right? Tonight? You would think? Against Arizona? Come on. They're 23-63. This is your opportunity to get that back on track. If you can fix your road record up just a little bit, you're good enough at home to get close to a 500 record. And Colfax, dare we even... No, we don't. We don't say the...
The P word?
No.
Let's not get too excited.
I'm not even going there yet. Give me 4 weeks. If there are 5 to 7-ish games under 500 in 4 weeks, then let's talk about it. Let's just have a chat about it. But you can't deny it's. And what do you do with Trevor Story? Do you stay as is and just, or is the worst case scenario that you finish like 5 or 6 games under 500, and then the management's like, we're good. We just need these young guys to get better. And then you're back in that cycle again. That's interesting. A lot to discuss about Aaron Rodgers. I told you, Hooligans, it's not happening. I tried to brace you, Colfax, and yet you look surprised. You look sad. Do you not trust me after all these years together doing this show?
I trust you. It's just hope. Just hope. You can always have hope.
You can always have hope. It's not happening, man. Yeah. And I'll get to more of that, too. Last week was great, though. You had, Kelly Lyle from the Colorado filled in?
Yep, Monday.
The voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson, stepped in. I was surprised you let me back in the door today, Colfax.
It was a tough one. Tough decision.
So we had Rams talk Monday, Buffs talk Tuesday.
Yep.
And then Preps talk a little bit Wednesday, and then Rockies.
Rockies.
And then Thursday, Friday, we just kind of had a little smorgasbord of stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's good to be back. We had a little staycation. We didn't go anywhere. Didn't plan to go anywhere. Kiddo's just not, he's not really a traveler just yet. So we had a good time, though. It was fantastic. I must have went to the park. I almost spelled it out because I had to spell it out all week for my kids instead of saying park, so we knew what was going on. I must have went to the park 40,000 times. And we got this thing going now where he doesn't want to drive to the park, which is not that far away. He wants dad to hop the fence, pick him up from our backyard, hop the fence, pick him up over the fence, and walk in the beautiful heat all the way to the park at noon. And we walk and we love it. And, of course, my kid likes to walk extremely slow and look around and talk and look around at people and everything, and which I absolutely love. I'm a fast walker, though, so it's something I have to get used to. We get to the park. There's so many kids there. And, you know, my kid's running around left and right. I got a story for you, Colfax. I told you Colorado State made a huge hire, right? Assistant coach for Nico Medved, Sam Jones.
Yes.
He was an assistant for Cleveland, correct? Mm-hmm. Full disclosure, we've been trying to get him on the show for the last 4 weeks. Couldn't do it. Yeah, he's moving. still was coming from Ohio. And my guy John over at CSU is like, hey, just bear with me. We'll get him. All right, cool. Sam Jones, great guy. So we're down at the park. We're playing around. And we haven't been to the park a lot, and especially with COVID stuff. And my kiddo is like, you know, kind of gotten this mode, very shy, very concerned with people. Well, so we get down to the park, and Gavin's saying hi, walking up to everybody. We're like, who is this kid? He sees this couple with their three children, 13, 10, 8. They're playing catch with the basketball on the park. My kid runs up to all three of those kids, takes their ball nicely, very sweet, and then chucks it back to another one. I'm like, is he playing catch right now with these guys? What's going on? Runs over to the two parents that are sitting on the swings going back and forth. He grabs this 6'5", maybe 6'6", gentleman, my shy little boy, picks him up, pulls him off the swing, starts pulling him around the park, walking him away, and then leans in and gives him a little hug action. So I go over, and I'm saying, guys, sorry, he doesn't understand social distancing or anything, so hopefully you're good. They absolutely loved him. Shake hands. Sam freaking Jones. Right? And I looked at him, I said, Sam, what? And he goes, yeah, we just moved in. They live a block away from me. Wow. And they're at the park, and I'm like, dude, I've been trying to get you on the show. So we're going to get him on the show at some point. What's really cool, and I don't want to get emotional here, they were like, yo, we were looking for, obviously, CSU. It's the great sign that we're here, want to be here for Colorado State. Well, we were looking for a sign that this was the right move and we were going to be welcomed into this community. Well, here comes my shy little three-year-old son, hugged every last one of them of his family members. And so we got built-in babysitters now. So that's fantastic. We're excited about that. And so, again, it was a cool moment. So that was a cool highlight for us.
It's amazing.
Over the weekend, yeah. So that was fun.
I was looking for that clip from Step Brothers where they're like, did we just become best friends?
Oh, I'm there. I don't know if he's there, you know? I text Coach Medved right after that. I said, dude, I finally ran into your assistant coach. Like, we're very close to each other now. I said, if you need help moving, you know, call me after that's done. And I'll be over there after the move is done, you know? Yeah. And, yeah.
Bring a pie or something.
Bring a pie. Yeah. After the moving.
No heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Here.
No heavy lifting. None of that stuff. No, I did actually offer to move, but I mean, Sam Jones, people are going to help him move. He'll probably get the entire basketball team to help him move.
Yeah. He's good.
So it's just funny because I'm like, well, what brings you to Colorado from Ohio? Just, you know how my brain doesn't connect dots as fast as it should. And, well, I'm here for the CSU. And he held up the basketball, CSU. He's like, the assistant job there. Yeah. And I'm like, basketball? Of course, I'm seeing the basketball in his hands. Basketball? What? No, wrestling. Yes, basketball. And I'm like, wait a second. Carry the four. Do the math. Ohio, Cleveland, Jones, Sam, basketball. You're the assistant basketball coach for Colorado State. Okay, cool. So we'll probably get him on the show at some point. If not, I'll just pop over to his house later and be like, hey, I noticed you weren't on the show today. Great family. That's another thing I love about sports. You bring a lot of cool families in. You know, really great family that's never experienced the northern Colorado area. So it's going to be great. So anyway, yeah, we were popular at the park, man. We were very popular at the park. Man, Gavin running around like crazy. It was good. I think I lost a few pounds just chasing him at the park. It was great.
Yeah, you look nice and slimmed down, man.
Yeah, well, thank you. Well, we walk back, and he wants to, you know, he wants to walk. He doesn't want to drive. And so we walk back, and suddenly my son's like, it's hot, sweating, turns to me, dad up. Oh, he's you want done. Me to carry you the whole way now? So now I'm carrying you the whole way, up on the shoulders, no other way. Got to be on the shoulders. But you know what? We're learning. We're learning things as we're journeying. So I missed that. I'm going to try to make that a ritual, though. Park's a great place. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301, 970-478-1301. The Greeley Stampede's over. We're back to reality, which means we clear the way now for July 28th, Broncos training camp. Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater, no Aaron Rodgers. Why do I say that with so much confidence today? And this is the interesting thing that's coming out. You know, Rodgers has been in the news, you know, actually talking in the news more because of the golf stuff coming up. During a news conference Monday, the Green Bay Packers quarterback spoke at length about the steps taken to improve and preserve his mental health amid questions about his long-term future with the NFL franchise. He was. They came ahead of course, the match, the charity golf exhibition set up Tuesday. Of course, we're going to see Rodgers, Bryson, DeChambeau, Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady. Okay, great. But that's why he was in the media, because he's talking about that. He kind of just goes on and says this, quote, "I'm very thankful for the opportunity to work on my mental health," Rodgers said. "I haven't dealt with bouts of depression or anything that I think, for whatever reason, are okay to talk about if you're talking about mental health. I've just really been trying to think about what puts me in the best frame of mind. What habits can I form that allow me to feel most in my body, most present, happiest, and what I've been doing." Okay, so he kind of went on to talk more and more about it, and then they asked him about, well, what about the Adam Schefter reports right before the draft that you wanted out? And so here's what he said to that. "Sometimes the loudest person in the room is not the smartest person." Very Mr. Miyagi. He says, "Sometimes the loudest person in the room is not the person who has all the facts on their side of the truth or their side. Sometimes there's a lot of wisdom in silence. Sometimes there's a lot of wisdom in being selective on what you say." So what does that mean? Does that mean he let Schefter do all this stuff and the Packers do all their thing and he just kind of sat back? Now, what's interesting, Colfax, is the opt-out has passed for Rodgers. So has he opened the door to returning to the Packers? He has no leverage anymore, no power. And we know that he wants to play. I've read several reports that when Rodgers was asked, he does want to play. So the Packers hold all these cards at this stage. And my prediction was he wasn't going to play. Now my prediction is he's going to play, but it's going to be for the Packers. But my 100%, no doubt about it, prediction was always that Rodgers will not be a Denver Bronco. It's just not going to happen, man. Dixon says, even the flood couldn't get Colfax on the roof.
Stuck in the basement getting buckets.
It was raining, too. So, you know, you were getting it from both ends, man. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, you didn't get on the roof while I was gone. Did you? I mean, you could have.
No, I don't think so.
All right. Rachel Nichols is in the news. That's our big story of the day, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. All right. So Rachel Nichols was saying something in confidence to a fellow ESPN reporter. And of course, if you say anything, it's supposed to be a secret. It's going to get out unless you really, really, really trust that person. She said some interesting things about Maria Taylor, who is, of course, a black ESPN personality. I always thought, I think both are second to none. I've always enjoyed both of what they do. I know Maria Taylor does both the NFL, NBA stuff. Well, Rachel Nichols, here's the conversation that got her into a bit of hot water, and let's hear what you guys have to say.
They said to me, "Hey, instead of hosting the NBA Finals, like, why don't you do Doris's sideline reporter job for the NBA Finals?
Because guess what that would clear the way for?
For her to do it full time.
For Maria to do the hosting full time.
Yeah.
I have declined. I don't know what their next move is, but they are feeling pressure because of all of that. And I'm trying to figure out, like, how to just, you know, my thing is, like, I wish Maria Taylor all the success in the world. She covers football. She covers basketball. If you need to give her more things to do because you're feeling pressure about your, like, crappy long-time record on diversity, which, by the way, I myself, like, know personally from the female side of it, like, go for it. Just, you know, find it somewhere else. Like, you're not going to find it with me."
Any problems with it? It's basically saying, hey, ESPN, you need to make up for all of your lack of diversity hires, but don't do it on my territory.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I have my problem with it, is because plenty of woke people are like, yeah, we need to be better than this, but I still got my job, right?
For me,
I'm still good. So that was my only issue. Do I think it's racist? Do I think what she said was racist? So my understanding is, of course, Rachel Nichols is a host, an in-studio host. And from what my understanding from her discussion was that perhaps ESPN was saying, why don't you step back out on the sidelines and be the sideline reporter, and then Maria Taylor would be the in-studio person.
That's what I got from that.
And who would you rather be, the sideline reporter or the in-studio person?
Probably the studio.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Unless you're a young up-and-comer and you're like, I want to be out watching the games courtside. That's pretty cool. Yeah. But no, most established reporters want to be in studio. So, Rachel Nichols is a legend. Let me get this straight. Say this straight. Rachel Nichols has been there for a very, very long time. I watched back when she was doing, you know, NFL big time on ESPN. Then she went away. I think she went to NBA TV, then back to ESPN. And so, are there issues? To me, the issue really is we need more diversity, but not on my watch, not on my territory. So let's take a step back. So here's her. Do you have her apology?
No, I didn't.
Don't have the apology. Yeah. It's an apology is an apology because you got caught. So it's really not. So is this much to do about nothing at the end of the day? Is this forgotten in a week or two? Or in the woke world, is Rachel Nichols now labeled as like a Brett Favre, Brian Urlacher type, Drew Brees? Is that where she sits now?
Probably.
I mean, you had Kendrick Perkins come out and say, hey, good for you to own it. You're very professional. You're great at this job. I mean, they were good to her, but a lot of people really weren't satisfied with what she had to say. I thought that was an interesting story, to say the least, man. I mean, it was when I first heard it, I was like, I don't see anything wrong with it. But then I went the other way and I said, actually, I kind of do. It's more or less ESPN needs to fix their problems, but don't do it for my job. And I can get that. If you don't want to be replaced because if you're good at your job, which all of us would agree, Rachel Nichols is damn good at her job. She doesn't watch Nikola Jokic basketball, but other than that, she's pretty good at her job. Pete says, how is this different than Jalen Rose saying Kevin Love on the Olympic team was only out there because they needed a token white guy? You're right. It's not. It's not any different. It's all the same, and we just got to view it all the same. We either have to decide as a sports world if we're going to be just like, whatever, it's not that big a deal, or if we want to get serious about everything. And if we're going to do that, we need to be serious about what Jalen Rose said. Come on, who's the player for Miami that got in trouble using the anti-Semitic slur when he was playing a video game, not even knowing what it meant? But then you see Kevin Durant blasting guys using the F word, not that word, but the other word, nonstop. And it's just kind of glossed over. So there are a lot of issues. We just have to decide as a sports community how we're going to view all of it. So that's an issue. Yeah. Rachel Nichols, though, I don't know, Colfax. My gut on this one kind of tells me it goes away. No, I don't know. You're saying it's had some staying power.
It could. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if she lost her job.
Maybe, especially because she said ESPN has some diversity situations. Yeah. It says, like, a diversity hire issue, which I don't think ESPN has that issue anymore.
Probably not in the last 10 years.
I haven't noticed it.
Probably not.
I mean, I don't know.
I think they're very forthright in that.
Yeah. So, an interesting one.
It's just strange.
Eastside Chris. And I read comments. They're not always my own. Ye doggy, cat fight. Send them to the mud pit. I did not say
Nope.
That's not me that said that, Colfax. That's Eastside Chris there on that side of it. Wow.
Are we doing Top Text Tuesday?
It's Top Text Tuesday. Oh, my gosh. I almost forgot about it. There we go. Weld County Swami has two. We have the Floyd Little signed jersey, courtesy of Fresh Coat Painter South Platte. Weld County Swami has two. Dixon has one. Hooligans, you can't let Dixon win one today, please. If he wins the Floyd Little jersey, you know what he's going to do with it. I mean, hopefully nothing disgraceful.
Probably just trade it in for like a Chiefs jersey, but
yeah.
He wouldn't enjoy it.
Yeah, he wouldn't enjoy it. That'd be terrible. He would probably trade it in. So we got the Floyd Little signed jersey, and that thing is awesome. It's framed. It's ready to go. It's perfect for the man cave, the woman cave, any cave, the bat cave, even, if you need it to be. So I want to see that rock and roll. Best text of the day will win, or best theme of texts can win.
Yeah, a string of texts doesn't hurt.
Did you guys do Top Text Tuesday last week with Mark and the Johnson Bunch?
We did not.
I didn't think so. Top Text Tuesday is a little beneath Mark, right?
Mark is very businesslike in his approach, and
yeah,
I
was shocked he wanted to come here and do the show. I'm like, you do realize, like, they're the hooligans. You know, we hang out at the Den a lot. Are you sure you're good with that group of listeners tuning in? And he's like, yeah, bring him on, man. Mark would fit well up here, actually.
Well, I think so.
He'd be a well kind of guy. 970-478-1301. That's the First Advantage text line. 970-478-1301. I do have some Colfax. I do have a little a breaking news that I want to get to today as well. It's not sports related, but kind of. We got a brand new show here on KFK starting in about 2 weeks, and a lot of people know this guy. His name is Brian Gary. He was a part of the main part of the Good Morning Guys on K99, the country station there in Windsor. And I'm not a country music guy, but that guy, he's morning DJs. It's not even 90% music. It's more or less the DJs talking. Brian's taken over 3 to 5 afternoons here on 1310 KFK, Monday through Friday in 2 weeks. Brian has done it all in the radio industry. And the guy was victim to what happens in radio when you get gigantic corporations making the decisions and not paying attention to their own communities. Brian was Weld in Larimer County. He fit both counties perfectly. But you get giant corporations coming in saying, nope, we're cutting, we're putting these people in that fit more of our national brand. The hell with what you do in Weld and Larimer County. So we said, hey, he fits with what we do. Sports, news, and entertainment, man. He's a Vikings fan, so we'll see how that goes throughout the course of the year. But I'm excited for that. Brian Gary starts on July 19th. More on that story available at 1310kfk.com. 12:26 the time. We have to take a break, Colfax. We have to take a break. I've got a lot to say. We got to talk about Aaron Rodgers. Got our poll question ready to go. Drew Kreisman will join us. Demaryius Thomas retired last week. Ring of Famer, right? Hall of Famer? We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hall on The Hall Show, 1310 KFKA.
We got a lot of announcements to make in the next couple of weeks. I just posted on my social media account and said, hey, brace yourself, NOCO. Big news, man. Big news. Brian Gary's coming to the station. We've got a full local lineup. We love it. Got some more news coming out. We're not that far away from UNC football with Coach Ed McCaffrey, getting ready for that kind of stuff. Big stuff happening, man, and we're excited about it. I tell you what, running around with the kiddo all the time, I tweaked my back yesterday. You know how? Standing up. There it goes. So I know I'm going back into Rev Chiropractic on Thursday. They've taken care of me. All the upper stuff, all my upper back, but now it's like lower back. What'd you do, Brady? Were you active this week? Did you get crazy? Nope. I stood up. I was sitting down, decided, was done doing that activity. Thought maybe standing up should be fun. Nope. Tweaked it last night. So I felt like a 90-year-old. That was exciting. So heading back to Rev Chiropractic on Thursday. I go every week anyway, so it's perfect. They used to be the chiropractic standard. I'm telling you, I was talking to my sister over the weekend, and she's like, I'm trying everything, and the cracking and all that stuff, and yoga, it just doesn't work. And told her all about Rev. I said, if you're willing to drive 4 hours from Eads, Colorado, it's worth it. Maybe not once a week, I don't know. But to me, zero back pain is worth it. That's Rev Chiropractic. They're off of Highway 34 and 35th Avenue in the same kind of parking lot as Home Depot. There. All right, 32 minutes after the hour, it is Top Text Tuesday, and I need you guys to bring it today because we can't let Dixon get one. Weld County Swami could win the Floyd Little jersey, and I know he is wanting, he's never won one officially. He's won a day, but he's never won the actual trophy, the prize. So he could do it today, but I need amazing text. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to 970-478-1301. That's KFKA to 970-478-1301 to get in the mix. 33 minutes after the hour, Drew Kreisman, he's going to join us of DNVR Rockies. And hey, should we be thinking bigger than five games under 500 or 500 for the Rockies? We'll talk to Drew next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the block party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
36 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Want to shout out to Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. Services as unique as life. Live well, plan ahead. Give Scott Robin, a member of their great staff, call today. They're wonderful, wonderful people that make a tough, the worst situation at least manageable. That's Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline, Drew Kreisman, our Colorado Rockies insider. Drew, I mean, 37-48, every time I think this team's about to completely unravel, they are home for like 8 games in a row, and then they do pretty good, but you got to admire it. This team's finding a way to survive, at least.
Why not? Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't make
every
sense, though, does it?
Every time you think you're out, they pull you right back.
That's right. What's happening here? I mean, is this where you thought they'd be July 6th when the world was ending, when Nolan Arenado was traded?
Right.
Did you think they'd be 11 games, just 11 games, under 500?
Well, the funny thing is, I actually had them on. I was about to pick them to win 75 games for the season, even after the Nolan trade, and people are like, already, this is 100 lost. You know, you kidding me?
Yeah.
Seeing these guys pitch? No, they're not. Come on, pay attention to the important parts of baseball. I know he's a superstar, but he hits 4 times a game, and the ball might get hit his direction. He's never pitched a Major League Baseball game in his life. I get it.
Great point. Yep.
They didn't lose 15 games off of their record because of one ball player. That's just not how baseball works. But then in spring training, in the span of like 2 or 3 days, Scott Oberg went down for the entire season, and Kyle Freeland got hurt for what we knew was going to be a month longer. And my 75-win prediction became a 70-win prediction. And lo and behold, that's more or less what they're on pace to do right now. Now, in a very strange way, because people have corrected me on this by saying, well, actually, Drew, they've played more home games than road games to this point, and they're so great at home and so terrible on the road, and if they continue to be that way, they're still going to get close to losing 100 ball games. But it's like, yeah, but that's also not how baseball works. They're not also going to continue to be as terrible on the road. They'll probably not continue to be quite as good at home either. But one of those things is a bit more sustainable than the other. When you're on a historic pace to be that bad on the road, they got 3 games coming up against the Diamondbacks, who are not a good baseball team, you know, and they've got a bit more momentum. It's also a young team. And I said this at the beginning of the year. You can like go back and listen to the DNVR Rockies podcast from when the season. Most of these guys, it's their first time being regular, everyday, 162-game starters at the big league level. It takes some getting used to. It's just the sport where there's the biggest development and change in that level. And so I'm not at all surprised to see that players like Brendan Rodgers and Raimel Tapia and Garrett Hampson and Jonathan Daza, who's come along, and some of these other guys, or Elias Diaz, who it's been his first year as a starter. Yeah, he was bad early on. He's never dealt with the Coors hangover before. He's never been a regular starter before. He's also got to catch every game and worry about all that stuff. So that it took 2 months for his bat to show up shouldn't be a total shock. But yeah, we'll see how it plays out. I also don't think they're about to go on a big run here and get themselves back into it. But you never know. Momentum's a crazy thing in baseball.
It really is. And, you know, like I said, I'm giving it a few weeks before I go too crazy here. But there's hope around this team. And it felt good. I'm sorry. I know Rockies fans are still in love with Nolan. And there are Rockies fans out there like, I haven't watched a game since they got rid of one player. It's like, man, if that's how you're watching your sports, you're going to be in trouble 98% of the time, because not everybody's Todd Helton and, you know, all these guys that retire as a Rocky or a Nugget or a Bronco or an Av. But it did feel kind of good beating the Cardinals in a 4-game series, and the fact that the Cardinals are only, like, what, 3 or 4 games better than the Rockies right now. Sorry, but that feels kind of good to me.
It has to. I saw people trying to turn this into something more negative than it really is, but I'm sorry, when a guy demands a trade, and people have all said he had every right to do, and I don't necessarily disagree. He didn't think he was going to win a ring here, and neither do most other people, and so he went somewhere where he thought he was going to win a ring. But then you go, well, how much closer did you get, you know? And some people can see it that way, and some people can be like, hey, you know what, Troy Tulowitzki was mad when he got traded. He didn't want to leave the Rockies, despite the fact that he left last place team to go immediately to a Toronto Blue Jays team that came very close to going to the World Series. But Tulo didn't want out. John Gray's not sending video of himself to the St. Louis Cardinals either. So it's like,
right.
You don't have to hate Nolan, and I certainly don't, and I will wish him nothing but the best. He's going to have a surefire Hall of Fame career. Best player I've ever watched personally, and it was a privilege to cover him every single day, and was always remarkably kind to me. But yeah, I mean, if you're in the Rockies community, of course you hope the Rockies win a World Series before he does, when you're just flat out told, no, you're not good enough, I'm going somewhere that is good enough. And then you read in the paper in St. Louis, oh man, the Cardinals are in fourth place and Nolan might have an opt-out, and what's going to happen? It's like, huh.
Been there before, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the interesting thing about that with the Cardinals. And again, it can all grass is always greener, and I get it. I'm not trying to like make it all look like it's been puppies and rainbows for the Rockies as an organization. But, you know, when a player demands a trade and sends video well before – yeah, it bothers me a little bit more than just, oh, the organization was awful to me. And it wasn't really that case. So my question for you, Drew, is you look at this team. They're finding ways to win, 31-17 at home. What do the Rockies do at the trade deadline? I saw you guys tweeted a while back, about an hour ago, there's rumors about Marquez. There's obviously the Trevor Story, the John Gray stuff. We've been talking about that for quite some time. Are the Rockies going to move on from any key major pieces before that deadline hits?
At this point, my take on it is that I believe they will trade Trevor Story.
Mm.
I don't believe that they will trade any of their starting pitching. I also think they'll move on from several veteran guys who are like on, like CJ Cron, Michael Givens, maybe a Daniel Bard, though he does have one more year on his contract and may not get them, you know, may not move the needle that much. He's had his struggles this year, but Story, I do think, will get traded after the All-Star game, as they've said. It's one of those things when someone gives you a qualifier. When that news came out and there's like, the Rockies say they're not going to trade Trevor Story before the All-Star break, and my Twitter feed broke out with people just saying, oh my God, look how stupid they are. These guys aren't going to trade him. They're going to be so stupid. Everybody, and my take on it was like, before the All-Star break. Well, that means that like, you just clarified this so they're going to trade him, just not before the All-Star break.
Right.
You wouldn't have put that qualifier in there. And some other things that have come out, and even just like pay attention to the way that like the guys on TV and the guys on radio who worked very closely with the team and like have lunch with the front office people, once they're openly talking about teams that are interested in trading for guys like Trevor Story. Yeah, I think there's a decent chance that's the right move. It's going to be tough for fans after Nolan, but it's the right thing to do. But holding on to the pitching, I think, is also the right thing to do. I think that's what you have to build your future around, is this crop of starting pitchers who've been very, very good.
Perhaps the best in history, right, for the Rockies? And I know that's not hard to beat, but it's...
Bar wasn't real high, but
Bar wasn't real high, but we've always said it for years. Can you find a consistent group, not just a one person, a consistent group of pitchers that can do it consistently in Colorado? And apparently the answer is yes, and they're doing it at almost the highest level. So we've said it for years, Drew, and I think hopefully most people agree. You can have all the Nolan Arenados and Trevor Stories you want. If you don't have solid starting pitching, for the most part, and the bullpen, we'll talk about that, but you're not going to do anything in this league. And the Rockies have learned that the hard way. The Blake Street Bombers, the Nolan Arenado, the Troy Tulowitzkis. I mean, we've had it. But what has it done? Five playoff appearances. So now's the time to do something completely different. If it doesn't work this way, then you go back to the way it wasn't working before, right?
Sure. Then try that. But you've got these guys now. Whenever I hear people talk about, and Bud Black basically came out today and put in some of Marquez stuff, it doesn't make sense. Herman Marquez is still 26, 27 years old. He's still got several years left on his contract. And while you might be able to get a bunch of great prospects for him, all you're doing is hoping that one of those prospects turns into Herman Marquez, who you already have on your baseball team.
Right.
It's slightly different with John Gray because he's expiring, but he's expressed publicly, again, going back to what do fans value, not value. John Gray said, I want to be here. Remember, he pitches.
Yeah.
And he could get more money probably to go somewhere else and get more attention and get better numbers and all that stuff, but he likes it here. And if you can keep this group together and not have to ponder how you're possibly going to get starting pitching in a couple of years, that just means that whoever's the next GM doesn't have the most difficult task in the history of the Colorado Rockies to think about. He does have the second one, which is figuring out what to do in the bullpen, which is an absolute disaster right now.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
But you've at least taken that starting rotation. You can run with Gray, Marquez, Freeland, Senzatella, Austin, Gomber, and then some of these guys that are coming up after him, like Ryan Rollison and a few others that you add into the mix for the next 3 or 4 years. And even if you're not good next year, by the time you've revitalized your farm system, whatever you get for Story, you know, whatever you can sign in free agency, because they have no money allocated to anybody next year, so they can just go buy whoever they want. You pair that with this starting rotation that, as you correctly stated, Brady, is the best in the history of the team. So leave them alone.
Leave them alone. Build around that. I mean, it's like we talk about in football. Without a quarterback, great, you can have all the pass rushers and all the running backs and all the wide receivers in the land, but if it's Teddy Bridgewater throwing to him, then good luck. And if it's Aaron Rodgers, different story. But you can spend all the money on great shortstops, and those are amazing. Those are going to win you sometimes. You know, they're going to have some amazing moments. But at the end of the day, if you don't have consistent pitching, you can't get there, and you certainly can't win in the playoffs. All right, so Trevor Story, would that were they looking for the bullpen there, right? They'd be looking to bolster up the bullpen with that kind of move?
Well, I think what they really should be doing is kind of targeting a couple of different areas. Because I don't think you're going to pry anyone's top prospect away. So, yeah, you grab a reliever, you grab an outfielder, maybe a guy who's got like an extremely great defensive profile because you need great defenders to cover all that outfield space. Maybe you do find a project of a bat in there, but that's what I'd be doing, trying to get 3 or 4 guys who are relatively close to the big leagues, maybe none of whom wow the fans as like, oh, man, they got that guy, but all of whom are going to be solid contributors within the next couple of years. And, yeah, you've got to, whether it's acquiring an actual reliever or acquiring another starter, and that means that in the long run, whoever, you know, loses out ends up in the bullpen. That's another way to go, too. There, you know, I've always been kind of a fan of the idea of Antonio Senzatella in the bullpen. He's been about league average for most of his career. I thought he was getting better there, maybe not, but he's discovered better stuff. Maybe you maximize his value in the bullpen if you acquire another starter. So you can kind of kill 2 birds with 1 stone that way.
Yeah, just moving the pieces around, see what sticks. Drew, this will be interesting. You're on the road, like you said, winnable series here, and you got, what, 6 games before the All-Star break, and maybe our poll question today is, how will the season end? Will this team be like 10-plus under 500? Will they be floating around 500? I guess if they find a way to finish 5 games under 500 or so, you retweeted this, I retweeted it. Does this have a bigger question mark around this organization going forward as far as, okay, well, maybe this was good. We're going to keep going as is. Or like you retweeted and said, it doesn't matter if they lose 100 or if they lose, you know, 80. Whatever's going to happen is already in play.
That's exactly right, Brady. I really don't think it matters how many games the Rockies win or lose this year, except for where the draft pick is going to be. Beyond that, like, in a lot of other situations, I would get where people are coming from, but the team doesn't have a general manager right now, or there's an interim GM, and you know, a few other pieces of stuff. They got to hire a new GM. They've already said they're going outside the organization to do that. They got other positions to fill, and as I mentioned, they have like almost none of their money allocated, with Trevor Story and Nolan Arenado coming off the books. And I know people like to believe that Dick Monfort's super-duper cheap, even though that's never actually been the case with the payrolls. He's not just going to not sign anybody. That's just not how anything works. So the idea that even if the Rockies wanted to take surprise success as an excuse to doing nothing this offseason isn't even an option. They've got to hire a new permanent GM. That guy's going to staff his office with people, and then that guy's going to decide, or gal, I should say, because Kim Ng's doing fantastic work in Miami. But it's just like, whoever takes over that job, then they're going to start signing people because there's nothing on the books. They're not going to run out there with a payroll of $30 million for the entire team.
Right, right.
It's just not realistic.
there's going to be major moves at some point, sure. Drew, what are you working on, man? We got a little bit of time left. What do you got for us? I know we can check out your podcast, your blogs, everything. You're rocking it.
Yeah, hey, appreciate that. Just did a big thing on Marquez's no-hitter and questioning, or almost no-hitter, and questioning whether or not it was really and truly the best-pitched game in the history of the Rockies. And I've got a big thing coming up on Austin Gomber and about why, other than just the hot month, that everything in his profile suggests that he really can be a key piece for the Rockies moving forward, that they've got the right guy to be more than what he was projected to be. A lot of it having to do with things like fastball spin rate and those kinds of fun technical details the baseball people love to dive into sometimes. But I can't wait to see him get back out there and pitch a bit more, because I've been very, very intrigued. He may just have the perfect mix of everything you need to be successful as a Rockies pitcher.
I love it, Drew. Keep up the great work, my friend. Always look forward to it in these conversations. And who knows? Maybe the Rockies put on a decent road trip here and before the All-Star break, and at least leave us with a lot of interesting thoughts during the break.
You never know.
Drew, my friend. We'll catch up with you next week, okay?
Appreciate you, Brady.
All right, Drew Kreisman, Rockies insider. Love it. DNVR Rockies. Rockies got Arizona and San Diego the next six games before the break. How will it unfold? Colfax is very optimistic over there, by the way. We'll take a short break. We'll wrap up hour number one. We got game one of the finals tonight. Colfax and I are in an interesting spot in our picks. We'll talk about it next.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Pillow Fight Dan says, I love the optimism from you and Drew. It has to be hard burden to carry. I'm not saying we're going to the playoffs. I'm just saying the over-under bettors that said under 65, I think you guys got to be sweating a little bit. That's my optimism, is that this Rockies team, they were probably going to be the same. Maybe five games better with Nolan, 10 games. You tell me. I mean, really tell me, how much better would they be right now, Nolan? I believe that building a pitching staff, Colfax, you know me on defense, right? I'm all about the four pillars. Two stud pass rushers, two stud corners, and away we go. I'm shifting a little more even in the more corners. In baseball, at least for the Rockies, just build your starting rotation. Just keep working on it. Hammer at it until you fix it. So you haven't done it before. Never. And that's why this team is never any good. Well, if this doesn't work, you can go back to what wasn't working before. Second hour coming up next.